Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio. This is Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. We have some fantastic guests with us today. We're going to talk a little bit about Curcio and all of the happenings that we have going on here coming up and in the past. If you haven't heard our last couple episodes, check them out on Podbean or on iTunes or on CatholicSpiritRadio.com. With us today, we have Dodie and Mary and Deacon Gary. And we're going to talk about Curcio. Who wants to start?
Well, I'll be glad to introduce myself.
Okay.
Again, Deacon Gary, and I am the spiritual director for Bloomington Normal Curcio. We have a pretty sizable community here in Bloomington Normal, and we run 4 Curcios a year, 2 men's and 2 women's. So
the men's are first, and then the women's are typically, what, a month after?
A month and a half? Roughly, yeah. Something like that. We have a men's weekend in March, and then a women's weekend in June, a men's weekend in September, and then a women's weekend in November.
And I'm sure a lot of work goes into putting those together.
Yes. Yes. There is a fair amount of coordination. It takes a lot of volunteers. I don't know. It's probably been a long time since we've actually counted, but the number we usually throw around is about 150 volunteers to put on a weekend.
Wow.
So you've got to
have somebody cook all that food.
You got to have the cooks and the servers and security and Polanka and, of course, the team. And just there's just a myriad of people that help us out on a regular basis to make it successful.
So since you're the local director, can you give us a 30-second elevator speech for somebody listening that would be like, I don't have 4 days to give up?
Well, I would say, please reconsider that. I think if everybody's experience is different with Curcio, right? So some people come out of Curcio on a mountaintop, and others are like, yeah, that was okay. And that's okay. There's no expectation. You get out of it what you get out of it. It's up to the individual and the Holy Spirit as to how much of an impact it might have on them. But one thing I can assure you of is that it will get you away from your everyday routine for 3 days, because we start on a Thursday night, and then we go all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday, and then we send you back home. Get you away from all the chaos and the distractions and all of those kinds of things. And really, it's billed as a short course in Christianity. So you'll come, you'll sit back, relax, and listen to 15 different talks about Christianity. And it's not just one after another kind of a lecture upon lecture upon lecture thing. There's a lot of fun intermixed in there, and we do a lot of fun things over the course of the weekend to keep it lively. But yeah, that's really what it's all about. It's ecumenical. We're very blessed in this diocese to have an ecumenical community in Curcio. Our bishop supports that totally, and so all are welcome. And there's really no pressure over the course of the weekend to do anything you don't want to do. And the important thing to remember, while it is sponsored by the Catholic tradition, it's not about conversion. That's not what we're trying to do here. I guess if you want to say conversion, it's conversion of heart, conversion to following Jesus Christ. And it's not so much about faith tradition and so forth. So people don't need to be fearful of that. You know, it's not something that at the end of the weekend we're going to make you sign a paper that now you're going to be Catholic. That's not what it's about at all. And in fact, we have a very large non-Catholic community base here in Bloomington Normal as part of our Crisil community. So it's a good time, and I promise you'll have a lot of good food.
Well, I appreciate the 30-second elevator speech. And for those of our listeners trying to ask Siri what ecumenicalism means, it means not just Catholic.
Correct.
Absolutely. How about you, Dodi?
So, Dodi Gomer, I have the opportunity to be the lay coordinator for the diocese. So I have a chance to meet all the other Curcios in our diocese. And it's really, I think when people first heard that that position exists, they thought I was going to show up with a clipboard and do like an audit. And it's not like that at all. It's just that some Curcios in Bloomington or Champaign or maybe on Northeast, Northwest, they're doing something that works really well, and it's just a sharing of ideas.
Kind of like a best practice.
It is. And so we got together in June of 2018 and all put our hands in. We're all in to have a diocese-wide Altrea, second year in a row, and we just held that December 1st. And an Altrea is what we call the reunion of Cursistas. It's a reunion group. It's an opportunity to hear a small talk, participate in Mass, and then go to a social. But it's also an opportunity to introduce Curcio for those people, as Deacon Gary says, that may have said no. You know, for your listeners, you said, Jason, some listeners are saying, yeah, I've said no to Curcio. In fact, I've said no twice to Curcio. I think it's actually good to say no to it at first and then maybe experience an Altrea and then say, yeah, maybe I'll give it a try, because it does seem challenging to have 3 or 4 days turned off and to be at a Curcio, but once you say yes, you won't regret. But an Altrea happens once a month. The diocese-wide Altrea happens once a year.
And so the Altrea is open to anybody?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I've never been to one. I've been to Curcio twice and have never been to an Altrea. But I did the reunion group for a long time. And then there were three of us, and then one of the guys passed away, and then with just two, it was kind of difficult, because anytime one of us couldn't make it, then there was just one.
Right.
I always tell people, to Deacon Gary's point, I had just converted to Catholicism. And when I went to Curcio, I kind of left the weekend like, not on that mountaintop. And a lot of it, I think, was because I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I just went through RCIA. I know Jesus is real. Like, I don't know. And I kind of felt bad. Like, maybe I missed something. Everybody else is like, had a great time. And not that I didn't have fun and eat a lot and everything else. But you know, I got so much out of the reunion group every week. And I so enjoyed and appreciated kind of that camaraderie between the three of us and the accountability. And, you know, really, I think that to Deacon Gary's point, that there's a lot of facets to Curcio. And sometimes if we don't either feel like we need it or we go and we don't necessarily understand what we got out of it, sometimes that reunion group and just reinforcing that conversion in our lives is so God works in, you know, many different ways. Sometimes he doesn't hit us on the top of the head like we need.
Yeah.
But we ask for those signs. We just want like giant billboards sometimes. And so what about you, Mary? What's your role in Curcio?
I am Mary Pyatt, and I am the Altrea coordinator for the Peoria Curcio. And we have 12 Altreas throughout the year. We have one every month. And so my job is to coordinate all the Altreas, get the speakers, make sure that we have a priest and a church to have our Altrea in.
This is like a full-time job for the three of you.
It can be. It can be. And when we were working on the diocese-wide Altrea, we had a lot to do, but it's good work. And so it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. How long ago did you go to Curcio?
I went to Curcio in 1987. And I have been in my group reunion for 32 years.
Wow.
The same ladies.
Wow.
So it took.
Yeah, absolutely.
It took.
What was your faith like before you went to Curcio?
I'm a convert.
Okay.
I became Catholic in 1980 when my children were born. And so I had a good faith life. My husband went first, and then I was hesitant to go. So it took me a little while to go. And he had the mountaintop experience, like you talked about. I didn't have the mountaintop experience. It was a great time, and I had a lot of fun. But Curcio has absolutely changed my husband and my family and myself, our lives. We wouldn't be the faith-filled people without it.
Yeah, you must have had some little kids then.
I did.
When you went.
I did. My daughter was 7 and my son was 9.
Yeah, my wife hasn't gone yet. She keeps putting it off because, obviously, I mean, we have 5 kids, and the youngest is 1.5 years, so she keeps saying that. But it would be a great 3-day staycation, right? I mean,
yes.
Absolutely.
I think she's afraid the house will burn down.
Or won't get picked up.
Oh, it definitely won't get picked up. Were you at my house this weekend to hear me getting yelled at?
No. Nope.
Oh, man. We had gymnastics here in town. And my oldest and the second both do gymnastics, but Reese has a broken leg currently. So Riley competed at at the Shirk Center on Saturday, and Kara was gone all day, and she came home, and the house was a disaster. I heard about it.
I wasn't there, but I'm number 9 of 10.
Yeah, so you know how
I know how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Deacon Gary, how long ago did you go to Curcio?
It was 1998 is when I went to Curcio.
You weren't a deacon then, right?
I was not a deacon. Actually, I went because my wife wanted to attend, and she had been pushing me, and I kept resisting, and so I finally gave in and decided to go reluctantly. I'm also a convert. By that time, I had already converted to Catholicism, but was, I don't know, pretty much a fair weather Catholic, I
guess. As long as the Bears weren't playing.
I went to Mass every Sunday with the family, but that was about the extent of it. And then, Curcio came along, and I had a mountaintop experience, and it was life-changing for me. In fact, it was very instrumental in me becoming a ordained deacon down the road. Had no anticipation of that, had no idea that was coming. And I just want to be clear here, again, Curcio, that's not the intent of Curcio, is to make people come out into ministry, right? But that can be one of the things that comes from it, but certainly not our intent, and not everybody would have that kind of experience, and that's okay.
And Dodie, Gary earlier mentioned Polanka. Can you explain that to us a little bit?
Well, my definition of Polanka is giving, you know, it's giving of yourself. And Polanka for the Curcio movement, or for that weekend, your Polanka could be in the chapel for an hour praying for those that are candidates and for the team. It can be doing an act of service. It's my definition of Polanka.
I ask because this past week I was cleaning out a bunch of stuff at my office, and I found this manila envelope that had my name on it. I pulled it out, and it was full of like letters and prayers from people for, you know, for, that did that as their Polanka, stuffed full. And a great letter from my wife that she had written to me while I was there. And so, you know, that's hopefully we keep that stuff around. And I found all my notes from the talks, and I looked through, which I'm not a big note taker, so I was shocked that I even had taken notes. But I found those and read through it. And like I said, I've gone to Curcio twice, and I think every time that I've been, I've taken more faith with me in newer ways. I always say the first time I went, it was really about action in the community and with the people I interacted with. I really took that as part of my journey going forward. And then the second time, I took a lot of prayer and study as kind of the things that really touched me from the Holy Spirit's perspective when I was there. So I definitely think it's a fantastic time. Worst case scenario, you get fed for free for 3 days, and
absolutely,
you get a staycation. And if you didn't enjoy it, then, you know, keep coming to the Ultreas until you enjoy it.
Exactly. There you go.
So what is the what's kind of the difference between the Peoria and the Bloomington Curcios that you've noticed? Is there anything major that that we do differently over here, or is it pretty much the same?
Well, we're learning, and yeah. So we were just sent a couple of flyers, and this is from Champaign, and they're really these bright colored flyers. And one is the chili cook off, and that's going to be their Altrea. We don't have Altreas in Peoria with the chili cook off,
no,
but
we don't.
I'd like to copy that. Yeah. But they also have a trivia night. And that's more of, I think, of a fundraiser,
yeah,
for a fun night out. And I don't think that's their actual Altrea, but it's just one. So I think each one of the geographic locations, they do things different to bring their community together. And we just continue to learn. We don't meet. We met in June. We don't meet on a regular basis. We only meet when we have to as an entire diocese. But we'll continue to learn from each other. But the other thing I don't want to leave out is there's another Curcio that takes place in prison.
Oh, wow.
And it dovetails off of what you're talking about, Polanka. So a group of a team goes into the prison, and then they come home each night. And, it's just one of those, to me, that always scared me. I couldn't imagine what that would be like. But when you read in the gospel about giving up everything for Christ, when you're sitting in the pew and you're thinking, I grew up without a car. I took the bus. Does he really mean I have to get rid of my Buick? You think that. But actually, when you go to serve on a prison Curcio, you've given up everything. Because when you walk in, you hand over your car keys and you hand over your driver's license and the door is shut and you have on your jeans and your flannel shirt and that's it. But with you, someone has prepared those Polanka letters. And so the prisoners receive Polanka letters from people that they'll never, ever meet. And it's a remarkable weekend for the prisoners. So we have our locations, our geographic locations. We also have a special Curcio, which calls Prison Curcio. And then we also have a very Spanish Curcio. Everything is done in Espanol.
I know that there's there's some parts of the English Curcio that are done in Spanish as well, so that's a great learning experience for those of us that thought taking French was a good idea.
Yeah.
haven't used that much since high school. Well, that's fantastic. I guess I'll have to make it to an Altrea.
Yes,
and there's
you will.
There's some family ones, right?
Yes. Now we have just decided that the children can come to an Altrea.
They can come to all of them?
They can come to all of them.
In Peoria?
In Peoria,
okay.
Yes. And so I have two young grandchildren, or three actually, and they can all come to the Altrea. And so hopefully that'll get the younger people more involved in Curcio, because now they can include their family. They don't have to get a babysitter on a Saturday night. The whole family can come, and then that'll be something that the whole family can enjoy together and be at the social and attend Mass.
Gotcha. I know that I had a buddy that went to Curcio over by Champaign, or maybe it was in Champaign. And after their Curcio, they were encouraged to then participate in This Man Is You.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something different that they do over there. He really enjoyed that. I think it's a Friday morning for, I don't know, 8 weeks or something like that type of program. I hear that we're going to start doing it at St. Pat's of Myrna in the fall. So I don't know if it's not a piggyback off Curcio kind of like they do it, but he really enjoyed that. So maybe that's something else that folks can look into. If they can't maybe commit to the 3 days, they can start with This Man Is You and do a Friday morning. And then after they get hooked by the Holy Spirit, they can come and do the 3-day course.
Well, you bring up a good point, because I think one of the myths, especially I've heard a priest reference, well, once somebody gets involved in Curcio, they've moved away from their parish or for their church. Actually, the opposite happens. Curcio opens up your heart, your mind, your voice. You want to do God's work. And again, the intent isn't, there is not a spreadsheet saying, who did we convert? Like Deacon Gary said, there is not a spreadsheet like that. The intent is just to open up our hearts. And the result is people actually get involved more in their family, their communities, and their church and their parishes.
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I would think probably one of the biggest takes from the men's Curcio is being a present father and husband.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of theology involved. Actually, not really that much. I mean, nothing deep.
No.
As far as theology goes, I think a lot of it's just like, hey, turn the TV off and be present and help to raise your kids and be there for your wife and that kind of stuff. So the ladies should definitely encourage their husbands to go. I don't think anybody ever went and came back a worse husband.
No.
Well, I hope not.
Maybe zealous. They might have come back and been on fire, which I know we talk about at Curcio on the last night. Like, hey, you know, for those of you that have had these really big mountaintops, like the folks at home aren't in the same, they were not here for the 3 days.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of that is our challenge as Christians is meeting everybody where they're at, and trying to bring them along to where we're at in our faith life, but being able to connect with them, where they're at. Otherwise, we turn everybody off and nobody listens to us.
Exactly. Yeah, Jason, you bring up a point there about, what Curcio's about, and Dodie touched on it as well, but it's, we really stress a lot the domestic church, right? So start at home, and really it even begins with starting with yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we promote is, as Dodie said, opening your heart to Christ and just begin with yourself and then just bring that into your home and be present there first and share that Christian experience with your home first. And then you can begin to branch out and do other things in the community and your parish and so on and so forth. The domestic church is most important. You got to start there.
Yeah, it's hard to care for others if we don't care for ourselves first.
Correct.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. This is Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5, Catholic Conversations with Jason. We're talking about Curcio with Deacon Gary, Mary, and Dodie. We will be back after this.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Bloomington Central Catholic, a U.S. Department of Education Blue Ribbon High School. So the academics are great, but why do the students love it?
Everyone is just so close. Such a small school.
Like, because it's a place where I can be me.
We have such great faith life.
Go to Mass, reconciliation, whatever I want.
Or take the Washington Post's word for it. It's the most challenging high school in Central Illinois. Your child belongs at Central Catholic High School. 661-7000. 661-7000.
Getting sick or injured is never convenient, but getting the care you need should be. Fortunately, there's OSF Prompt Care to provide the care you need when you need it. OSF Prompt Care treats minor illnesses and injuries on a walk-in basis. You keep convenient evening and weekend hours and accept most major insurance plans. Check out our newest OSF Prompt Care off Rab Road in Normal near Schnucks, or find a location near you at osfstjoseph.org/promptcare.
We are back, Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. If you're just tuning in, you missed a great first segment. We've been talking about Curcio. Go back to Podbean or iTunes or CatholicSpiritRadio.com to re-listen. Or if this is Saturday and you're listening, you can always check us out on Sunday at the same bat time and same bat channel. It's a reference for those of you that aren't millennials. So we've been having a conversation with Dodie and Mary and Deacon Gary about Curcio. You guys just had a big Ultrea event. How did that go?
The Ultrea was very successful. Like we've talked about before, we were very worried about the weather, but we trudged on, and it was great. We had a wonderful talk by Deacon Rick and Cheryl Miller. We always have a talk at Ultreas, and our theme was for the year, for the Ultreas, was we will walk with each other, and together we will spread the news that God is in our land. And it's just a wonderful time to hear how others are walking with the Lord and their experiences in their life, and how the Lord is important to them. And it encourages us out in the congregation to think about how he encourages us also. And so it was a great success. We also were very blessed to have the Knights of Columbus at the Ultrea and to do what they do. And
they did like a color guard?
Yes, yep. They did a color guard. And it was just wonderful to have all the people come and share. And the bishop was very welcoming to Curcio, and we are so blessed to have a bishop that wants everybody to come, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, whatever. He welcomes everybody to Curcio, and that's the beauty of our Curcio in the Peoria Diocese.
For those that are listening that might not have figured it out, the Ultrea was 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
On Saturday night, right in the middle of the tornadoes, the December tornadoes that we were having.
Yes.
Was that something that you guys had accounted for in your planning ahead of time?
No, we did not.
No, you didn't. You didn't think it'd be 60 in tornado season and in December?
We did not. No, and that it would be pouring down rain so yeah. hard you couldn't see to practically walk.
So was this at the cathedral?
Yes, it was at the St. Mary's Cathedral. Mm-hmm. And
350 people ended up coming.
Wow.
And we had Sue Bridgewater was in charge of the music, and everyone from around the diocese was invited to join her. Judy Coker was in charge of communications, and then we had Joe Nauman in charge of the Knights of Columbus. And so you can just imagine walking into the cathedral after that cold, heavy rain, and then to hear the music and to see the candles lit. And the lectors were from different parts of the diocese or different mm-hmm. parts of Curcio, or prison Curcio. The gift bearers were from all parts. So it really was like our diocese came together.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main purposes, because we're in our own center, so we don't always hear about what other centers are doing or get to talk to other centers. And so this was a great opportunity for all of the centers to come together and to hear about what they're doing in their centers. And when you go to the social, then you meet a lot of new people that you have never met before, and that's another plus. I talked to a lot of people that I'd never met before, and that was very nice.
Dodie, you mentioned diocesan-wide, and we've mentioned several times centers. So maybe you can just give us an idea, how many Curcio centers do we have in our diocese and where they're located?
We consider the prison Curcio is one of our Curcio centers, if you will. And I know they go to Kewaunee and Canton and other prisons throughout.
Pontiac, I know they go
and
to Pontiac.
And Pontiac as well.
Are they go to Galesburg, don't they? In Danville, I think they've been over there. They used to go to Lincoln. I don't know if they still...
Yeah, is Lincoln still open?
I don't know that.
One of those facilities is.
It's a women's facility, right?
I think it's
right?
the women's yeah. facility. But, yeah.
And so typically when you're on a Curcio team, it's a men's weekend or a women's weekend. But when it's a prison Curcio, husbands and wives can go on and be a part of a team together. So it really is different. So I'd like to highlight the prison Curcio, then the Spanish Curcio, but we also have Bloomington and what we call Eastern. So that's Monticello and Champaign, Farmer City, Illinois Valley, which is Mendota, and Arlington and La Salle, Peru, that up that I-80 course. Northwest is the Moline, more of the Quad Cities. And then, of course, we've got the Peoria area and our Spanish Curcio.
That's a lot of Curcios in a year that get put on.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think each center does a variety or various numbers of. Here in Bloomington, normal we do four a year. In Peoria,
we do six.
We do six a year. Mm-hmm. I think Champaign does two a year now, and so there. It just depends on the location and kind of what the attendance has been, and so yeah.
And I've had people ask me. They'll say, "I live in Peoria, but I work in Bloomington. So where should I go to a Curcio?" And it's like, really, it's about the reunion group. Which reunion group will you most likely meet up with? And when you first go through a Curcio, I have to confess, I was at a stage in my life where a BlackBerry was in my hand.
Nice. I remember that.
And I had this phrase called, "I'll just duck out." And that's how I worked. I had a very busy work schedule, and I had this phrase in my life that I'd say, well, I'll just duck out for a few minutes here, and then I'll duck out there, duck out. Duck out was one of my phrases. So when my husband invited me to go to the Curcio,
he's like, no ducking out.
No ducking out. You know, the BlackBerry stays home. And so when people are living that kind of life, they think, how am I going to go for a whole weekend? And what? You want me to meet a month, every week for an hour? What? What is that? But actually, if you're living in Bloomington, or if you're living in Peoria and you're working in Bloomington, if there's a likelihood that you could have a cup of coffee for an hour with a group of Curcioistas each week, if the likelihood it will work in Bloomington, then a Bloomington Curcio is probably one for you. Wouldn't you say, Deacon?
I would agree. You can attend any of the
right.
the centers, certainly. And sometimes a relative will sponsor a family member back in, you know, the area where they first went to Curcio. For example, maybe I would invite somebody to come to Bloomington Normal that lives maybe in northern Illinois. And certainly that's acceptable, but to Doty's point, it makes it really difficult then for them to have that weekly connection of group reunion. And that is so important to Curcio. So if a person can do that in their more in their geographic area, it's probably a little more beneficial. But certainly we don't want that to be a restriction. If you feel more comfortable coming to a location where you've got relatives that participate in that particular Curcio community, please attend.
Yeah, and like I said, I got more out of probably the reunion groups as far as kind of that ongoing conversion. And like I said, my group doesn't meet anymore because we had one of the three gentlemen passed away. But to Mary's point, her group has still been going for all these years. And I tried getting into some other groups after ours kind of disbanded. And there's just something about that original group. You know, you form some bonds and some camaraderie over those 3 days. And so that, to your point about kind of going where your group's going to meet, is probably the biggest benefit so that you can be in that group with the folks that, you know, shared those same experiences as you and not try to, you know, join a group that, you know, while you still had this a similar experience, it wasn't the same. And so I think, you know, there's some, you know, kind of lacking in that bond there potentially. So.
My own reunion group started out with the three that were at the same Curcio, and then we welcomed somebody new, and then we all welcomed a new person, and there's been some changes, and we're getting ready to welcome two more. We're trying to keep it at five or six. And what's interesting is very diverse backgrounds. One is retired, one is preparing to retire, one is in her 30s, and she goes up to Chicago to the Young Catholic Professional events. I mean, she's our hipster. But the age doesn't matter. It's that we've all experienced Curcio, and the ones at the reunion group need to open up the table and welcome people. And you can make it work. I think it's actually, when you think about how brilliant it is, if somebody relocates from Denver to Bloomington for work, that we could find them a reunion group.
Absolutely.
Or a different country.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Curcio's worldwide.
Yeah, yes. we have friends that made their Curcio. Actually, they helped bring Curcio to Geneva, Switzerland.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
From Peoria, yes.
Well, that's a mission right there.
That's a mission.
That's quite the distance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
We're going to take another quick break. You're listening to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. This is Jason Bramley speaking with Deacon Gary, Mary, and Doty about Curcio in the Peoria Diocese.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
When your hands are full and you can't reach the radio dial, say,
Alexa, play Catholic Spirit Radio.
When you're relaxing after a busy day and need inspiration, say,
Alexa, play Catholic Spirit Radio.
When you can't remember the radio station's frequencies, say,
Alexa, play Catholic Spirit Radio.
It's easy to listen to Catholic Spirit Radio on 89.5 or 92.5 FM. And now you can listen on Alexa. Just say,
Alexa, play Catholic Spirit Radio.
Catholic Spirit Radio from TuneIn.
We are back, Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. We also want to welcome our new listeners in Pontiac on 88.3. So if you enjoy hearing Catholic Conversations with Jason, send John Hall a little note at, where are we at again? Boykin's Place in Normal. I can't remember the number.
108.
Thanks. At 108 Boykin's Place in Normal, and tell him how much you love listening to Catholic Spirit Radio on 89.5 and 88.3 in the Pontiac area. I think we're going to continue to expand this radio station, right? Continue to evangelize and outreach. We definitely need some monetary support in order to do that. I know John is looking at potentially adding some more square mileage for Central Illinois, but all of those things in order to evangelize the Word of God take money. So for all of those of you that enjoy this program and all the other EWTN programs that we put on Catholic Spirit Radio, as we go through the Christmas season, keep Catholic Spirit Radio in your thoughts, prayers, and pocketbook. We could always use the assistance. And you can find us again at CatholicSpiritRadio.com or make your checks out to 108 Boykin's Place in Normal, Illinois. So back to Curcio. What do people need to know? What's the one, the most important thing about Curcio? It's got to be the food.
Yeah, well, that's a biggie, but no, not exactly.
Now, I didn't realize I was part of the best Curcio ever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So was I.
So was I.
No way.
Yeah.
When I went, they told me it was the best Curcio ever.
Yeah. Well,
they did when I went, too.
Wow.
I've been hoodwinked this whole time. I thought I was something special. Walking around just head held high, thinking I was the best Curcio ever.
At that point in time, I think you were.
Oh,
I bet you were.
To that point, I was the best.
Yeah, I got it. I think that's how that works.
So which is better, Peoria or Bloomington? We start a fight on which Curcio has better.
Nah, there's no fight. It's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good.
We leave that up to the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Gotcha. As long as we're evangelizing our Christian faith.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all about building a foundation of Christianity and bringing people to the Lord and understanding who Jesus Christ is and what he has to offer each and every person. And that's really what Curcio is all about. We mentioned earlier about, you know, the different centers and some have different social events and Altreas and that kind of thing. But the one thing you can take away is every one of those centers, the format of the weekend and the tools that we send people out with are the same. Mm-hmm. And that's consistent across the whole Curcio movement. And that's what it's all about. That's the foundation. It's about coming to know Christ and understanding his gift of grace and how that's extended to each and every one of us. I think I also just want to mention here, Jason, that we've talked a lot about group reunions and Altreas. The other thing that's really great about a Curcio weekend is, and maybe some of your listeners, I know certainly myself from time to time have been to conferences and things, and you go to the conference and you listen and you spend the day, or maybe it's 2 days, and you walk away with all these notes and everything, and then you wonder, well, what am I going to do with this? I really think I want to do something, but I don't know what. And then you set it aside and you get caught up in you're right back to where you were. The beauty of Curcio is we do give you some tools over the course of the weekend that any person can take with them and begin to implement in their lives. And a couple of those are group reunions. And that's not a mandatory thing. Let's be clear about that. Again, it's all voluntary. But history has proven out. All of us sitting here can witness to the fact that they're wonderful and they are a great tool. It's a way to come together and to meet with others of like mind and talk about your Christian faith a little bit and pray together on a weekly basis or a biweekly basis, whatever works for you. It's very simple, no pressure. You just come together and do that. And then there's the Ultreas, which is an opportunity for the community to come together, the local communities to come together in a similar way. Ultreas are more of a social type activity, a little larger than a group reunion, but it's still that time of like-minded people coming together and being able to talk about your Christian faith and to help grow that faith. So just a couple of great tools. And, of course, one of the things we do in Crusades, talk a lot about prayer. And we give a lot of great examples how the everyday person can begin to pray in their life. It doesn't take a big commitment or, sign up for this study or that study. It starts very simply. And that's really what we're trying to get people to understand and just begin to do something.
Yeah, I think Curcio was really ahead of its time. It was the trendsetter. If you look around now, every church, whether it's a Catholic church or Protestant churches, what do they all do? Small groups.
Yep.
Curcio's been doing small groups for, how long has it been in the Peoria Diocese? 70 years? It's been a long time.
It's been a long time,
decades, yes. Yep. And, I often think that some people say, well, this isn't for me now at this point in my life. But actually, I think you could look at the whole spectrum of someone's life. Somebody early in their career, they probably have a career advisor, a life coach, or they probably have somebody at the gym that's their coach for physical fitness, or they might have a financial advisor. But if you're in your 30s and you're starting out in your career, this would be a great time to make a Curcio before you, is that next chapter in your life. But it can also be all the way at the other end of somebody that's, empty nest, or they just finished taking care of their aged parents and now they're feeling a little lost because they don't have that need to take care of their parents anymore, or they're getting ready for retirement. It fits the whole spectrum. But even somebody that has little ones at home, this could be their weekend to refresh for them spiritually. And then that hour a week in a reunion group, we're pretty, I don't know about yours, Mary, we're pretty tight on that hour.
And yeah, we were always tight on ours, too.
We were very respectful. And you would think, mm-hmm. You'd see five women at Panera's and you'd think, well, that's going to go for 3 hours. No, we look at our clocks and say, okay, it's 6:30. Let's say our closing prayer. It's pretty remarkable. So it isn't that time intensive as it might appear to somebody that has a duck out attitude.
What is the minimum age? You got to be 18 or 21 or?
21.
21.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not any beer at Curcio, so don't think that just because you got to be 21, there's going to be beer.
No.
The reason behind that, I think, is a lot, so we don't interfere with tech.
Yeah.
Which is Teens Encounter Christ, which is another movement for that teenage group. And we have a very strong tech program here in Bloomington Normal as well. And that goes up to, I think, from 16 to age 20.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. 16
so,
to 20.
And it's a very similar format. Not exactly the same. It's a little different. But, again, it's geared towards teens. And, again, it's a three-day weekend, and it's all about Christianity. It's ecumenical, and so certainly that is an avenue that people could look at as well for their teenage.
Mm-hmm. I was very involved in tech for quite some time, and my children went to tech, and they didn't go on their own. I kind of told them they had to go.
If you want food tomorrow.
You need to go to tech. And they really enjoyed themselves. Now, my daughter, who is 39, is very involved in Curcio. So we always hope that our techites will graduate on and go to Curcio. And she's getting ready to be on another team, and she's going to be an assistant. So tech, she didn't seem to think it made a difference in her life at that time. But you can tell that it really has. And now she's involved with her dad and I at Curcio, which is such a blessing.
Yeah, God is always planting seeds, rarely ever bushes.
Right.
That's right.
Usually
that's right.
We don't see when it happens. It just starts to grow later, and we're like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I so appreciate you guys for coming. Can we put you on the hot seat and do a reflection of this week's coming gospel? That sound like a plan?
Sure.
Sure.
It's a It's not optional. I mean, I already announced it on the radio.
Exactly.
So. before we get to that, any last thoughts on Curcio and how can people get more information?
Well, for Bloomington Normal Curcio, we do have a website. It's bncurcio.org.
Spell Curcio for the folks.
CURSILLO. bncurcio.org. Go on there. You can click around. It's got our calendar of events. It's got some miscellaneous information. I think we have an online application. There's some information there.
If you don't know of a sponsor, we can find one for you.
We can find you a sponsor.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And Peoria also has a website. If you just type in, and I'm not real good at getting on the internet, but you just type in Peoria Curcio,
and
we'll
find
our site will come up. It'll have our phone number. The office staff is very helpful. Just call them; they'll get you into Curcio, help you get a sponsor. And we have a lot of online applications too. You can pull it out and fill it out, send it in, and we'll get you to Curcio.
I know in Bloomington, the next Curcio will be the men's Curcio in March.
Correct.
Ours is the men's Curcio at the end of January.
Gotcha.
And we have another one, a women's, at the end of February.
Awesome. Well, go on bncurcio.org or Google search Peoria Curcio to get more information. We'll get to the gospel for this week. This will be the third Sunday in Advent.
Mm-hmm.
Before we do that, I just wanted to take a moment. And we had a horrific accident this past week out by Downs on the interstate, and Charlie Crabtree passed away. And Charlie actually would always drive the bus for my Normal West soccer team. Not always drive, but he would always drive for all the teams. And so if we had a game and nobody else did, then we got him. And I remember every time we'd show up after school, we'd walk out and get on the bus. If Charlie was out there, we always knew it was going to be a good time. He would come out and cheer at the games louder than any of the parents, and he just loved Normal West Athletics. And so I just want to keep him and his family and friends and everybody that is missing him in our prayers this week. And as we go into the Christmas season, he was a great guy, and obviously, you know, still involved in Normal West Athletics even after retirement, and
right,
and just really loved doing that. So this week's gospel is from the book of Luke, chapter 3. Deacon Gary, you're already probably prepared for this, right?
Sure.
We'll let you go first then.
John the Baptist.
Right? John the Baptist, that's right. So Luke, chapter 3. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. That is from Luke chapter 3. Deacon Gary, thoughts?
So, it's obvious here that John is has come to prepare the way for Christ. And near the end of that, you know, he talks about, "I'm not worthy to fasten the straps on his sandals." And clearly he's pointing the people to one greater than he, trying to make it clear to them that he is not the Savior, he is not the Messiah, that they're anticipating that person is about to come. The other thing is, I think that's important there, is he's trying to prepare the people for this idea of repentance, right? He's telling them to, one, share with others. It gets back to, they've had the commandments, right, all these years, the Ten Commandments, which covers most all of these things, but it was so hard to follow those commandments, and they had these strict laws and everything, and so now that was beginning to change, and he was beginning to share with them this idea of stop doing those things, help one another, love one another. If you have a cloak, an extra cloak, share it with others. If you have more food than you need, share it with others. And for the soldiers, stop ripping people off, right? Or the tax collectors. So it's about this idea of we got to begin to recognize that we are one and we are all worthy, or we all have been put here as God's children. And this concept of caring for each other, helping each other out. And then for those wrongs that you've done, he talks about, he doesn't say it there, but it's repentance. It's about how you need to stop doing those things and repent and begin to live a more righteous life.
How about you, Mary? Any thoughts? Did it touch you more than what Deacon Gary had to say?
I think it touched me. Yeah,
he summed it up well.
He summed it up well.
So that puts, what came to my mind is that question, what shall I do? And I'm going to wrap it into Curcio, because I still think it's okay to have just that silent question of what shall I do? You never thought you'd make a Curcio, so all those out there that thought, well, I'd never do that. Just say, what shall I do? And just have that quiet time to say, what shall I do? And if you can imagine where Curcio will take you, before Curcio, it's you say, I will pray for you. When somebody tells you about something that's going on, you say, oh, I'll pray for you, or I'll put you. And then after Curcio, you say, well, I'll put you on my prayer list. And you actually have a prayer list. And I actually pray with my husband now on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But even more so, then it becomes praying with someone at the moment. When you see somebody in the Walmart parking lot and they tell you about something that's going on, you say, can we just pray right now? Mm-hmm. And that's the transformation. So it's not asking you to give up your home and live in a tent, but you give up your moment and you pray right now. And so that question, what shall I do? It may not have to be as huge as you think it is.
Yeah, I think that, to me, I also noticed that, John draws the distinction, I think, in the same way as a foreshadowing of Christ, that we are, called to live in the world, but not of the world. You know, John doesn't say to the tax collectors, stop collecting taxes. He says, don't rip people off when you right. collect their taxes. You know, and he says to the soldiers, he doesn't say, don't defend the country that you represent, or and don't kill people in battle or anything. Like, he says, don't do the wrong thing to other people as you do your job in the world. And obviously when Christ came, and they were asking him in the market about paying and collecting taxes, and he said, well, whose face is on the coin? And he kind of kept that distinction between the world that we live in and the governmental bodies in the world and those types of things. And then what, we're called to live in that world, but then to be Christians and to do the right thing and to love one another and to try and take care of the people in our communities and be present to them. So, I think it was a great, reading. I definitely think it does tie in with the conversation we've been having about Curcio and answering those, those inner questions that we have in the quiet of our heart. And I do think it, in regards to the quiet of our heart, Father Schultz had a great homily this past weekend about silencing our cell phones for a while every day and being in prayer. And so as we go forward this following weekend into Advent, I would encourage people to just take that as an idea to shut the phone off. Don't duck out. Shut the phone off for 15 or 20 minutes a day and just spend some time in quiet. In reflection and in prayer. So you've been listening to Catholic Spirit Radio on 89.5. And if you're in the Peoria or if you're in the Pontiac area, it was probably 88.3. If you're in the Bloomington area, it might have been 92.5. Executive producer here, John Hall, is racking up the call signs for the Central Illinois area, and we love being able to evangelize to spread the EWTN programming and all of our local programming, and we look forward to hopefully being able to reach even more people in the Central Illinois area. So again, send your letters of thanks to him at 108 Boykins Place in Normal, Illinois, and really tell him how much you support everything that he has done. He has thankless hours spent behind the microphone, so we appreciate everything that he does for this community. And as always, if you like hearing us, the Ameren sends us a bill every month, and we could always use help with it. So four bills, John says, a month. And it's not cheap to run a radio station, but he does it out of his own personal time. And so we so thank him, and we hope that you would be able to possibly help thank him as well. So you're listening to Catholic Spirit Radio. This has been Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
This third week of Advent begins with Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete means rejoice. Gaudete in Domino semper in terram dico gaudete. That translates as rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is the week of the different color Advent candle and vestments. While you may be thinking it's pink, the actual color is rose to symbolize rejoicing in the closeness of Christmas. We're going to look at the genealogy of Jesus found at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. And I know what you're thinking. What rejoicing is there in a long list of Old Testament figures, half of whom I've never heard of? Well, if we dig deeper, there is a few names that stand out. More specifically, five women. It's rare for women to be named in biblical genealogies. But what's even more odd is the first four listed. No mention of the well-known matriarchs like Sarah or Rachel, but rather some outsiders or damaged characters. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. Tamar and Rahab are connected with prostitution. Ruth isn't even an Israelite, but rather from the kingdom of Moab. And Bathsheba was a Hittite and was either a victim of King David's lust or a willing adulterer. These characters are cause for rejoicing, because they remind us that Jesus came into this world to save us, sinners with our damaged lives. Even some of the matriarchs of his own family were outsiders who had a shameful past. But with the love of God, we too can have hope. The final and fifth woman mentioned in Jesus' genealogy is herself a great cause for rejoicing. Mary, the mother of Jesus, unlike the other women mentioned, is the perfect matriarch, who will become our mother too because we are Christians. In this third week of Advent, let us rejoice in the Lord always, especially for our families, damaged as they may be, and also for Him giving us Mary as a perfect spiritual mother. This is Matt Maloney from KnowTheFaith.net.